Morning, church family. It's good to see everyone here this morning. If you are a guest with us today, whether you're here with family from out of town or you're seeing what Alta Mesa is all about today from the community, we welcome you and we pray that you experience God in powerful ways among us today. I want to bring you some wonderful news this morning. I'm excited to report that together we gave $14,940.25 toward Neighborhood Needs Food Fundraiser. Yeah, praise God for that. So thank you for giving what you gave to that. Our goal was $12,000, and it's not surprising, once again, to me, the way the Lord works through the way of generosity in this place. So thank you for being a part of that. In addition, I want you to know today, kind of a God story. This year, our plan was to buy and to give out only 150 turkeys because of the Blue Apron donation, if you remember, the day before Thanksgiving. But here's what's happened. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, a gentleman from the community pulled up next to Neighborhood Needs and donated 34 turkeys. The day after Thanksgiving, Winco showed up and donated 96 turkeys. And then the Monday after Thanksgiving, the Walmart Neighborhood Market gave 40 turkeys, and on December 7th, they gave 13 more. So all that to say, on December 17th, we're going to have a turkey giveaway that we had not planned. But God had other plans, so praise Him for His provision and His love. In addition, I believe you would want to know, I think we all should know, that our five food store partners, Kroger, Central Market, Winco, Specs, and Walmart, donated 36,000 pounds of food just in the months of October and November. And so God is doing some amazing things in and through this place, but other churches and other organizations that are supporting the work that's flowing through the Neighborhood Needs Ministry. So thank you for your part in all of that. God is so good, and He's doing so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Speaking of that word, imagine, I want us to consider the conversation that was just presented to us from the opening chapter of Luke. If you have your Bible or Bible app, join me there this morning. This conversation is marked by a deep sense of reverence, of attentiveness, and receptivity before God. What Luke is doing, I believe, is he's preparing us for the arrival, the birth of King Jesus, with a brief description of the humility and devotion displayed by several rather, shall I say, ordinary people. Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary. Ordinary? Why would we say that? Well, Zechariah is an aging priest. Elizabeth is his barren wife, and Mary is this young, unmarried teenager. This is the unlikely cast that God puts together to prepare the arrival of the Son of God, the one who will be the Savior of all creation. And so does it seem strange to you that this is the group of people that God has chosen for the arrival of Jesus? And if what we celebrate at Christmas is true, the advent of Jesus Christ as Israel's King and the Savior of the world, this is hardly the kind of supporting cast that I, maybe you, would imagine to be assembled by the Almighty God. As people who generally thrive on stories of victory, success, prestige, and power, we gravitate towards stories like that. Our imaginations then would take us to a different kind of cast, maybe even a different kind of setting. And yet, if we think about it, hasn't God always used ordinary people, even marginalized, forgotten people, to do extraordinary things for His glory? God used a forgotten murderer and self-proclaimed horrible communicator in Moses to approach the most powerful human on the planet to declare, "Let my people go." God used a marked and judged prostitute to save the Israelite spies who were scouting out the city of Jericho, and because of her faith, Rahab and her family were spared when the city of Jericho was destroyed. God chose an inferior, young shepherd boy to be the anointed king of Israel, and Samuel and Jesse stood beside him, questioning God, "Are you sure that David is the one that you want? I mean, look at all of these other choices. And look at the broad-shouldered, taller, more handsome, more obvious choices." God says, "No, I want the young, forgotten boy." The examples are plentiful. Those are just a few. And so why do we wonder? Why do we wonder when God uses ordinary people in situations like this to do extraordinary things for his glory? When the church thinks about Mary, what do you think about? I believe oftentimes during this season especially, she's remembered for her humility, her devotion to God that kind of characterized her life and in some ways was expressive of Israel as God's covenant people. And yet when her story begins here in Luke chapter 1, she's not the first one that we hear from. It's Gabriel, an angelic messenger from God who comes to her and announces in verse 28, "Greetings. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And you might imagine a young, teenage, unmarried girl is like, "Me? You talking to me?" Mary's response had to have been one of sheer astonishment. And this is not something that she was expecting to hear. But what follows is even more astonishing. Verse 31, "You will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son," to which I'm positive she said something like, "That's impossible. No, no, I'm 100% positive that cannot be. 100%. She then hears more that will later evoke her praise of God's great love. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God," which was followed by this amazing promise, "For nothing is impossible with God." And then Mary finally gets to respond back. She receives this life-giving word of good news literally inside of her, becoming pregnant with Jesus. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And I love what Martin Luther wrote about Mary's experience here. Listen to what he said. He said, "When the Holy Virgin experienced what great things God was working in her, despite her insignificance, her lowliness, poverty, and inferiority, the Holy Spirit taught her this deep insight and wisdom that God is the kind of Lord who does nothing but exalt those of low degree and put down the mighty from their thrones. In short, he breaks what is whole and makes whole what is broken." And like Mary, friends, we're all broken in our own right. We're all broken by the sin that so easily entangles us. We're broken by our selfishness, our pride, our anger, our hate, our greed. Maybe it's bitterness or shame or guilt. Maybe for you it's doubt or fear or sorrow. And from those character defects that are deep within us flow dysfunctional behaviors like chemical addictions, or maybe for you it's an uncontrollable tongue in the form of gossip, or maybe it's lying. For others it's sexual immorality or impulsive spending, among many others that we could list off. But when we truly welcome God into our life, his grace overshadows our brokenness, just as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and did something powerful in her life. And so here is Elizabeth, and here is Mary, an old childless woman and a young virgin girl, and now both are impossibly pregnant. Their wombs were void until the Spirit of God filled them with sons, one that would prepare the way for the other who would be the Messiah. And I think maybe that's what Luther meant when he said that God breaks what is whole and he makes whole what is broken. Because you see, our God is a redeemer of our souls. He is a restorer of our broken lives. And so if you feel shattered this morning, there is nothing too great for our God. As Gabriel, through the Holy Spirit, promised Mary, nothing is impossible with our God. And I pray you'll take this principle with you this morning. Our God, He brings beauty from the ashes. He makes beauty from the ashes, and He brings life into the void. And this is what happens. This is what happens when we authentically and unapologetically place ourselves before God in His presence. We surrender ourselves to God's Spirit, and He moves and He empowers us to join Mary in voicing our yes. Yes, Lord, let it be with your servant according to your word. And with confidence, we confess that God is the one with the power to restore our lives, to do great things, to change us from the inside out, to use us for his glory. And to connect the analogy to Mary's moment in time, as we lay ourselves before the presence of God, the Holy Spirit conceives in us the life of God. Can you imagine it? That's what I want to ask you to do today. Can you imagine it? Is there anything more beautiful than the children of God saying yes to the will of the Father? Can you think of anything that would be more of a threat to change this world as we know it than for each one of us who confess Jesus as the King, as Lord, as Savior, to be full of His life and to accept the call to deliver Him into the world? If we would only stop leaning into other things that we think would change the world and put that energy into what will change the world, whether now or when He comes. If we would lean our time and energy into Him and His values, this world would be different. This world would change. And perhaps this is what the Apostle Paul was attempting to put into words in Romans chapter 8 when he was imagining the whole creation being in the birth process, a time of pregnant waiting, if you will. Listen to Romans 8. He says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." You see, we are the people of God that eagerly groan and we yearn for the kingdom of God to come fully on earth as it is in heaven. We join with Mary in saying yes to God in this world. Have you ever heard of better news? Imagine with me that each time we gather here together in this room, in this worship center, imagine that this is a maternity ward, if you will. This holy house is a birthplace for bringing new life into a dying, decaying world. That just as Garrett described in his thoughts in communion 1 year ago, he was lost without the Lord. But didn't you sense something in him this morning? Didn't you feel his passion for God? This place is a place of life where we birth something within us and then we go and we deliver him into the world. But you have to see it to believe it. You have to imagine it and then go and be a participant. And so according to God's truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we embrace the pains of this world, not as a curse, but as an opportunity. As an opportunity to share the grace of God with others, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a divine opportunity by which we deliver Jesus into the world as his ambassadors of love and peace and joy and love. And so like Mary, we've been called by the Spirit of God to bring forth life. And like Mary, our role in the story of God is to deliver the word into the world that so desperately needs him. And what God desires from us is a joyful yes. A joyful yes in response to his word that he speaks and the life that he gives. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Our yes to God's call on our lives can be both a gift of God and at the same time an expression of love, an action of our faith. And for me, this is the true beauty of Mary, an insignificant, forgotten member of her society. She receives God's call in her life, disregarding the difficulties that would follow her decision. She wholeheartedly and literally welcomed the Son of God into her. And that faithful commitment continued from Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and the beginnings of the church. She was there. Through it all, Mary was with Jesus, and she was for Jesus. And so the question that remains for us is, how do we envision God using us to present Jesus and his kingdom values to the world? And as we imagine how God might use us to bring glory to him, we might be overcome with doubt, we might be overcome with fear or anxiety. But would you remember with me Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church? Remember these words that still provide inspiration for us today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And the church says, amen. More than we could ever ask or imagine. It's by his power that we go, and it's by his power that this world is redeemed. And so like Mary, it is imperative that we welcome the Son of God into our lives and allow his kingdom values to mold us and to shape us. And before we close, I want to give us one more powerful example of this message and what it means to say yes to God and to say, would you just let it be with me according to your word? So would you help me welcome to the stage our sister in Christ, Orlene Dunn. Orlene, would you join me up here? Let's welcome Orlene to the stage. Orlene, about 6 months ago, came to Alta Mesa, and I'm so thankful that the Lord brought her here. She would be the first one to admit she is a different woman since coming here. The Lord has changed her.
Definitely.
And so he's changed your life first and foremost. You've truly welcomed the Lord into your life. I've been a witness of that. I've seen that. And so since making that recommitment, if you will, to the Lord, just share with the church family how Jesus has changed your life.
Well, I have to guess. I guess I'd have to take you back just a little bit, give you a brief overview of the pain that I was suffering. I had gone through a pretty bitter breakup with my husband, and it hurt. Tell you the truth, it hurt. I was with him for 28 years. He walked off. I fell. But I fall hard. I had gotten to the point where the best I could do and all I could do was just walk through my house and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. That's all I had left, but that was more than enough. Hallelujah. And then I decided, the church is only across the street from my house, and I had gotten into alcoholism, and but before I went into recovery, I started coming here, and I met Pastor Micah. That's what I call him. He was so welcoming to me. One thing that I liked so much about him is there wasn't necessarily a greeting committee. He greeted me himself on a personal level. When we talked, he listened like he's doing now, intently. I was there. You know, what I said meant something. And don't say anything to him about a good idea because he'll put you to work looking into it. That's my Pastor Micah. But it meant so much because he identified with me off the bat. He didn't say, well, we have this to offer, well, we have that to offer. He said, well, I know what you're talking about because, and that meant so much to me. You know, before going into recovery, I was in and out here, just struggling, trying to do something. Now, I do. I became kind of an honorary member. Because I was at service, and I was at neighborhood needs, and I was back here in the kitchen, just bouncing off things, trying to do something. And to me, it's things that I love to do. I love to be here. I love to help people. It's once I'm out the door, I suffer with depression too, but once I'm out the door, it's just wide open, it's 100. Let's go, you know. But also selfish for me because the Lord has spoken to my heart basically and said, Arlene, if you sit in here in your, you're going to be sitting in here and pretty soon, it's like Noah's Ark, you know what I'm talking about. Everywhere you go, somebody step in. If you sit in here, sooner or later, it's going to start to stink. You're going to rot sitting in here. But Aunt Mesa has given me reason to want to serve God. It's people here just don't act like other folks. I'm telling you, I'm honestly telling you, you can't tell who has this and that and who doesn't. People here just don't act like other folks. But that gives to me. But serving God with all I have is all I have. If you ask me, Arlene, who are you? Baby, I'm a princess. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. I am. Just it. I'm just me. And if you ask me, and Ultimate has helped bring these things to the forefront, I'm a licensed minister already, so I already know. But if you ask me, well, why do you do what you do? Because I am. You know what I'm saying? Because of the great I am. And when he was pressed for his name, he said, I am that I am. That. It stuck me right there. Alta Mesa has allowed me to blossom. It's allowed me to grow in ways that before I wasn't able to. My Pastor Micah is my friend. I'm glad to call him friend. The children here are obedient, loving, and kind. They are seeking Christ, which makes me seek him more because when they ask me a question, I won't be able to answer. You know what I'm saying? And this, and the kids are quick. But these are just some of the reasons why I love Ultimate Church of Christ. I am a Baptist, what they call us, button-in Baptist. I have been reared a Baptist. I love to dance. I get on with the best of them. It's what the Spirit moves me to do, I do it, you know. But Alta Mesa is home.
Amen. Thank you. You're my friend, too. Thank you so much. Don't forget your drink up there. So as Arlene and I came together on, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday morning, and we stood up here and we talked about what she might share, I told her the way I wanted to end it, and she was in full agreement, was if the Lord can do this kind of work in her, if the Lord can do that kind of work in our brother Garrett, he wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for you. There's nothing too great that he cannot make whole again. And I think our message shows us that this morning. And so if you need the Lord in any way, shape, or form, his invitation is yours. We'll have shepherds in the aisle ready to receive you if you need prayer of any kind. If you would like to respond and give your life to the Lord in baptism this morning through your great confession that Jesus is Lord, we would love to witness that today. Whatever your need is, please respond to the Lord now. Let's stand and sing.